Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome.
It's Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today.
Sports radio on the dot play, and we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we're waiting for Ray to our Rayside to join us. So, listen, let's talk some sports. It's Friday, y'all. Woo! It's going to be a great sports weekend. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com and also tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Check us out on Facebook, and you've got the website. Very cool, very interactive. Great photos of Ray and Tay in the sports world, you know, with the peoples, man, and at arenas and great games, great events, a lot of sports legends. And it's a cool website, a lot of poll questions. You can vote, give us your thoughts, your opinions. It's rayandtaytoday.com. So definitely a lot of fun. And, you know, we've been getting some great emails from you guys. So we'll try to, you know, read some on the air. Let's see where Ray, you with us? But I tell you this, you know who is with us? Peyton Manning getting at the scoreboard operator last night. That's his only complaint. You want to have those type of problems if you're a quarterback in NFL. We'll get into the World Series, NFL, college football, you know, some NBA talk and stuff. But off the bat, we got to talk about Thursday Night Football. I took the Chargers. I went out on a limb. You know, if they were a little bit healthier, they might have won. They got some bad calls, I thought, last night. Played a decent game. But my heart's broken. Ex-Steeler Emmanuel Sanders, 3 touchdowns with Peyton Manning. I think Ray might have him in one of his fantasy leagues. He's probably happy. But the sheriff keeps going. What has he got? 513 touchdowns now. Very impressive victory. I mean, what can you say? 35-21, and now the Chargers are 5-3. Broncos' first team to be 6-1. So they are the leaders in the clubhouse as potentially the best team. You know, I can't say the Cowboys. You know, you've got a couple of teams, but like Manning said, he played the Chargers and the Niners when they're banged up and hurt. And those teams are definitely that. I think they'll both get healthy. And so that will make things a little bit more interesting as the season goes on. So, you know, you got to look forward to a good NFL weekend. And then the game in London, that's going to be kind of fun at 9:30 or 6:30 in the morning for me out here in Arizona. It's kind of crazy, right? Football. But, you know, the NFL, brilliant marketers and very smart. You know, you get to watch a game before all the other games, which is perfect for all you Red Zone fans because sometimes you can't zero in on one game. And then this week you'll have Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night in terms of just focusing in on one game. So that's got to be pretty exciting, you know, I would say for Lions and Falcons fans getting to watch their team. We got some callers to the show. Nick from Dallas. He's a Detroit Lion fan, and I'm sure Nick will be watching. So, and Megatron might play. We'll see. He practiced and stuff like that. Hopefully Ray will be joining us soon. So, if you are a sports fan and you're sort of wondering what's going on right now, you're really happy with how I think basketball is getting ready to start. This season is going to be fun and exciting and, you know, something where people should be pretty hyped up. But if you're a Laker fan, you know, you hear the talk about Kobe, the negative articles, that's not new. But what about this Steve Nash injury. That's no good. You know, to have Nash be out and to make the money he's making, you got to be pretty bummed, I think, surprised with the nerve and him being out for the season. And what is he, 40? Ray and I were going back and forth last night discussing whether or not he is, you know, he's a great legend and two MVPs that I don't know if he deserved. You know, Shaq and other guys probably could have got him. But is he a Hall of Famer? And Ray made some good points. Just the fact you get two MVPs, you should be a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any two MVPs out there that are not Hall of Famers. I just don't think he's top 50. Obviously, he wasn't voted in, but he's not in the next 10, which the guys on Open Court on TNT just talked about, the next 10. You know, like a Bob McAdoo, Durant, Wade, those different guys, Gary Payton that got in. So the next 10, Nash, he's not that either. I don't know where you would rank Nash, where you would put him, but to me, Nash is he a top 10 point guard? Yeah, definitely. He's that. I think he's behind Kidd, Payton, Stockton, you know, your usual suspects of Magic, Isaiah, Oscar. But, you know, definitely he's not the guy. You know, Nash is definitely not the man. I don't think Steve Nash is someone that you could say is the, you know, I don't know how much he's going to affect the Lakers. You know? So, huh? I tried to plug you in. You got to call it a cell phone or another number. So, yeah. So, you know, having some technical difficulties trying to get Ray in. So, I don't know. I think, you know, and we'll talk about it more, but I'll wait for Ray to join us. But one thing you got to look at, I'll hold the basketball stuff because we're going to talk about some of the young stars. But let's talk about just some of the current events and some of the news. How about Joe Maddon, ladies and gentlemen, opts out of his contract. And Joe Maddon, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, who clearly underachieved this year. I thought the Rays would be a playoff team, maybe playing the World Series, something. He's free. Does he go to the Dodgers? Does he go to the Cubs? Probably the Cubs. We'll see. The old Rays GM is at the Dodgers now. You don't know if Socha will stay in L.A. So things are definitely interesting, you know, in the baseball realm. And we'll talk about, you know, the World Series, which is 1-1. I got to tell you, and Ray, you know, Ray has the Giants and Tay has the Royals. But Joe Maddon, Ray, opts out. Does he go to the Cubs, the Dodgers? That's sort of the breaking news, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're here. We got you.
All right. I was on hold for 10 minutes. I'm trying to get into the whole show.
Yeah, I clicked you in and it said you were live, but there was no audio. So, but Ray's here. You know, we talked about Manning the Sheriff and last night and Sanders. And if your only problems, Ray, are the clock operator, you're doing pretty good in the NFL.
No, I heard that. It's so funny how Peyton Manning was quick to defend the fans, and then he got on the clock operator. I'm like, poor guy, you know, he's making like $10 an hour, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of wrong, right? Because he's probably got kids, and then at school, the kids are like, they're going to rip his dad, you know. So I don't know. Peyton maybe should apologize for that and just talk to him privately, not put him on full blast. But
right,
I understand the frustration.
For sure.
But tell me what you think. I mean, we're going to get into this World Series, and then we'll talk about the NBA, the young stars, and college football, college basketball. But Joe Maddon, Ray, I mean, could he be with the Cubs or the Dodgers? I don't know if you know, the old Rays GM is now with the Dodgers. What do you think? And then, you know, the Hart went to the Braves, John Hart, who used to be with the Indians. And
right, with Cleveland, yeah. I didn't understand that because I thought Joe Maddon was the Rays. Rays pitchers and players have come and gone, and David Price was the face of the franchise, and he was in Detroit. And I thought Joe Madden was going to stay there forever, but apparently, I don't know.
He's frustrated,
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. And they had a good stretch a few years ago when they went to the World Series and they were knocking on the door. And ultimately, I think, I don't know if this affects him, but ultimately, it's tough to be in that AL East, in that arms race, and not have the
fan
money.
Base, the stadium.
Stadium that nobody visits, even when they're in playoff contention. And then in that arms race, going up against the Yankees, going up against the Red Sox. Now, Toronto spent all that money. Oh, and by the way, Baltimore just won it this year. So it's a tough job. But having said all of that, I thought he was there forever. But I guess change is good, man. Maybe it's
so
good for everybody.
So do you see him in Chicago with money to spend and Theo Epstein? And there's rumors that he might go there.
Chicago, L.A., you know, bigger markets. He's a charismatic dude, though. The media likes him. The players love him. He'll be great. Joe Madden will be great. I think he's the hottest commodity that baseball has on the market and really has had for a long time. I mean, think about when was the last time a manager of his caliber was just readily available?
A free agent, yeah, basically. Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, Tony
La Russa. I hope they don't fire Mattingly, though. I'd like to see Mattingly get some more opportunity. And then there's rumors Socha could leave the Angels and go to the Dodgers.
Socha and the Angels have been, what, that's like 20 years. So I could see that just because he's been there for so long.
And could you see Girardi going to the Cubs and Mattingly coming to the Yankees? I mean, that'd be interesting. These managers just trade. Who knows?
I'll tell you what, Donnie Baseball's my guy, and I don't want to seem blasphemous, but I'm not convinced that he's a great manager. So
That's fair.
I don't know. The verdict's still out.
Okay. That's fair. So look, we'll get to the NBA and the young stars, but we're here with baseball. So let's dig into it. The World Series, Ray, the ratings are down, but you know, lifers and real baseball fans like us and some of our listeners, they're watching. It's 1-1, a shift in both games. I guess let's reflect on that, and then we'll get into the battle of Game 3 in San Francisco with two old veteran pitchers going. What'd you think about the first two games? What's your feel in this series?
You know what? We both predicted a 7-game series, and I'm hoping that that happens. It's a little bit of a clash of styles, but both of these teams are so fun to watch and so clutch. It went perfectly. It was scripted. Nobody predicts, you know, a blowout like there was yesterday.
Right,
but
we both knew Madison was going to take game one. He's just on
fire.
Yeah,
that's your boy.
One of the best pitchers, in recent history, man. He's a gunslinger, you know, to take the quarterback term. He's fearless.
Yeah, he's fearless. Lincecum got hurt, so who knows if that will affect them.
And Hunter Strickland needs to calm down. I mean, come on. We're just looking at guys. You know, you talk about baseball and, like, these rules and the etiquette and all this different stuff. Hunter Strickland has got no reason to be staring guys down when you just got taken out of the park and yelling and this. I mean, I don't know. He might mentally be out of this series. We'll have to see. And that's a shame because the Giants are going to need him. So we'll see what happens because Timmy.
Well, you know what's interesting, though? Tonight – it's March.
Tonight. Game three.
Tonight.
Saturday, Sunday. Hudson's
think
going
about
again.
This. Tim Hudson, who's won 212 games, I think, before he even got to the World Series. So the last time we had a player like that was, I think, in 2009, Jamie Moyer with the Phillies. And this guy has had a ton of regular season success, and with the Angels and then with the Braves, has gotten into the playoffs, never right. into the World Series. Against a guy, Jeremy Guthrie, who is a below 500 pitcher for his career, and I've had him on a few fantasy baseball leagues, and he's disappointed me. But he's pitching as well as just about anybody not named Madison Bumgarner these days. And this guy is, I tell you what, it shows that veterans, especially pitchers, can always stick around because that savvy, that moxie, that
working
whatever it takes to get batters out,
changing your speed and working the plate. Yep.
And we'll see how it works tonight. But
but don't you believe this is going to be a bullpen game? And if it gets to that, right, you know that favors
the Royals.
The Royals
are just, shut them down, shut them down, shut them, shut them down.
I think they gained, to be honest, Ray, I think the Royals gained a lot of momentum just in one game in that win. I really do. And how great is Lorenzo Cain? Like, I got to tell you, this team, they got some, they're special. The Royals are special. I mean, I wasn't shocked at game one with the Giants, but the Royals, I thought it might be closer, but I thought they'd win game two. But tonight's going to be key. I think the Royals might take one tonight. We'll see what Hudson's got in the tank.
Yeah, look, the Royals had to win that game because if they had gone down 2-0 at home or 0-2 at home, there was no recovering from that, I don't think. They're too young. They're not experienced in the playoffs. But now that it's 1-1, I think probably the Giants will take the next, two out of three. Maybe Royals take one more at Kauffman Stadium, and then hopefully it goes to a game seven. That's all you can ask for.
Who do you think is going to get it tonight? Who do you got for tonight? I mean, we both have seven, and we know you got the Giants. I got the Royals.
I think the Giants win tonight.
Okay.
I think the Giants win tonight. I think they win something like 5-2. Like you said, if it gets to the sixth or the seventh, that KC bullpen is really
ruthless.
The best we've seen in a while.
Like
but
the Yankee bullpen.
Like the Yankee bullpen of the late 90s. Remember that? Mike Stanton and Jeff Nelson, Mariano Rivera and John Wetland in 96.
And Soriano to Mariano.
But I like the Giants. What about you? What are you thinking?
I actually think it's going to be 5-4, 4-3 Royals. There's something momentum-wise, and I think with Hudson, sometimes he can get a little wild. Now the Royals do jump and on the ball, and they'll swing. So he's got a chance for some strikeouts. But for some reason, I think Guthrie's hot. I think the Royals' bats are waking up. I think it's Hosmer's birthday. I think he's, 24, 25? I think the Royals are going to pull one out and take a 2-1 lead. So it's going to be a great weekend. 3 in San Francisco. The weather should be pretty decent. Hopefully they stay away from the crazy winds and the rain. And we should have a class. I put it like this. Nobody's going to win these 3 to win the series. So I think it's definitely going to go back to Kauffman and KC for game 6 either way. So it should be, whoever's up 3-2 should be fun. So now I had said to the listeners that you might have been really happy last night. Do you have Emmanuel Sanders on one of your teams? I can't keep up. Or is that my 15-year-old son who was so proud?
No, that's Elijah Dukes. I wish I had him. And you know what?
I had this too, yeah.
It's funny because if you think about it, Emmanuel Sanders.
He's better than Decker. I told you.
I was about to say, he's an upgrade to Decker. And if you want to put this in historical perspective, look, Manny's just going to keep, as long as he's healthy and his neck holds up. I mean,
this is
an era of crazy touchdowns, right?
He might finish out that contract, right? Actually play 5 years in Broncos.
Oh.
With the Broncos.
Wow. And end up with like 650, 700 touchdowns. But if you think about it, I'll just put that out there. And the big disappointment to me is Monty Ball, right? He's hurt now, but if it wasn't for, maybe if they had Nelson Moreno back again this year, you got to ask yourself, now this is a different era, but is this the best offensive, combination? Definitely, you got to take out the running back because the running back's a little bit subpar, right? But maybe quarterback receivers. Is this the best quarterback and 4 receivers that we've ever seen? Right. Because you got
Demaryius Thomas. There were some good ones in Indianapolis.
But he didn't go 4 deep, though. He didn't go 4 deep.
No, he didn't, and he had little receivers. He had little receivers, and Dallas Clark is savvy, but not as good. I think Julius Thomas is a pure thoroughbred athlete. And you know what's so funny? Wes Welker is doing nothing this season. As great as he is, and it's not a knock on him, but there's so much talent that he's just been the odd man out,
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders is getting his looks. But think about it. Think about that for a minute. Think about the Minnesota Vikings
late
90s. Think about the San Diego Chargers in the early 80s. Think about
Cowboys.
you know, the Cowboys, Novacek and Michael Irvin. Yeah, the Niners. But I don't think we've seen four guys like this. Demaryius Thomas might go down as a top, I don't know, 20, 25 wide receiver. Potentially, that's a potential. Julius Thomas might end up being a top three, top five tight end if he stays with Peyton for another 5 years.
Yeah. Well, honey, would you say that right there? I got to pause. We got to tip our hat to Antonio Gates. And I just want to point out to you, you saw in the game, there were some bad calls, so my Charger pick was not that far off. And if they were healthy, they can handle this Denver team, and you know that too. But I'll say this, some of those calls were pretty shady. But congratulations to Antonio Gates, our guy, for passing Lance Allworth, Ray, as the all-time Chargers receiver in receiving yards. That's pretty impressive.
That is. And you know what? To say to your all-time receiver on any team is impressive.
Yeah.
To do it as a tight end and
crazy
for the Chargers. That's nice.
I mean, past Kellen Winslow, who's probably one of the best tight ends we've ever seen, definitely the best single game that any player might have ever had in that playoff game against the Dolphins.
Oh, against Miami,
Kellen Winslow's the man of our childhood. We were like, yo, Kellen is a beast. And then you're talking about John Jefferson, Wes Chandler. I mean, great receivers over the years over there in San Diego. So, you know, that's great. You know, we talked about the intro of that. We'll get to football and the college football, the baseball we did. We'll see what happens over the weekend. Let's talk some NBA. Now, Monday we have our preview show. We have some guests lined up. We'll have Anthony Donahue from SNY, Knicks Blog Talk. Might have our good friends of the show talking Knicks and NBA with us, Ian Bailey from ESPN. We'll see. We're waiting for him to confirm. Either way, it's going to be a great show. Ray and Tay will give you all the awards, all the picks, everything. But today, Ray, we're going to talk. So just put on the NBA jacket and NBA sneakers. You got your high tops on? Would you wear it?
I got my Chuck Taylors. Now, when I was trying to get on the show, I was punching the buttons. I know you talked about Steve Nash. Let's just give a shout out to Steve Nash, whether he's a top point guard or not.
We can talk about that some other day.
Give him credit that this guy played hurt. I bet you that back's been bothering him for years. And saw him struggling with that. And what a great story of a guy who was from Canada, played soccer. You know, was drafted out of San Jose State, and really not many people had huge expectations. So he
San Jose State?
Dallas.
Was it Santa Clara? Didn't he go to
Santa Clara State. Sorry, Santa Clara State. Yeah. They're right next to each other, by the way. San Jose and Santa Clara right next to each other. And what a career this guy's had. Now, he does have one huge deficiency on defense, so we talked about this off-air. You know, he's basically the Dennis Rodman of offense versus defense. But the one thing he did do, give him credit, and this is why I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's a Hall of Famer.
He made people better, right? And very few people
ridiculously better.
Think about the guys that he had on his – I mean, he made Quentin Richardson lead the NBA in three-point percentage. Now, Q was our boy, and we have feelings for Quentin, but really, Steve Nash made him –
He did, but also, wait, he had some thoroughbreds, right? He had the Matrix, Sean Marion, when he was young and talented,
Amari
when he was an MVP,
Leandro Barbosa. Who would have thought about Leandro Barbosa if it wasn't Steve Nash?
And he had Forrest Diaw. So that's Suns team. Very talented Suns team. And let's be honest, they could have gone to one championship with that whole fiasco with the Spurs. But, what was that, the 05? I'm sorry,
017?
07. Yeah, so, but, look,
it's
sad.
LeBron,
I think his career is over. I don't think he's going to be able to come back next year. But if the guy wants to still play, maybe he could sign with the Raptors. I think this is his last year on contract with L.A. It's weird, though. He's making a lot of money to never really play. He's only played, like, 50-something games for the Lakers.
But you realize the Lakers gave up 2 ones and 2 twos. So this has got to go down as one of
the
worst.
And,
this has got to go down as one of the worst trades of all time.
It's lottery protected. So the Suns fans are actually rooting for the Lakers to be bad but not horrible. So if it's a top five pick, the Lakers get to keep it. If it's sixth or worse, the Suns get it. So that's going to be kind of interesting. As much as Suns fans out here hate the Lakers, we'll see how that works out. This Laker roster, we could talk about it. We'll talk about it more on Monday. But I don't know, Ray. It's not that impressive. And Jeremy Lin is now going to be him and Jordan Clarkson, who's a young second-round pick, I guess, going to be running the show. It's going to be kind of weird. They got a lot of power forwards, Jordan Hill, Randall, and Boozer. Nobody's really a center. I guess they'll play Jordan Hill at center. It's a weird roster. It really is. So, it should be kind of interesting. But let's talk about these young stars. I threw this out there, and I was thinking, who's the next guys? Who's going to be the first-time All-Stars, the next guys in the league? And I just want to get your opinion on a couple of names, because I think some guys are ready to blossom. I mean, we obviously know that Anthony Davis is the leader of the pack of the young guys, so we're not even about him, because he's already there. He's already a star and a stud. We're looking more at the Goran Dragic, the Andre Drummond. Oh, by the way, Oladipo is out with a facial fracture indefinitely. Thought that was kind of weird.
That's your boy, Victor O.
I like Victor O. So, I mean, give me some guys you like. Kyle Lowry. These are guys that haven't been All-Stars yet, but I think that they're right on the cusp.
Yeah, I think there's some guys out there ready to step it up. I think Andre Drummond, I think big guys, DeMarcus Cousins, are ready to step up and be consistent, because this league needs big men and needs big men to produce on a regular basis. I mean, there hasn't been a really dominant – Anthony Davis is there, like you said, but there haven't been really consistently dominant big men. You know, once Tim Duncan leaves and Kevin Garnett is basically done in terms of being a dominant player, you're really left with that. You're really left with Dwight Howard and maybe Anthony Davis, and that's it. I mean, where are the productive big men in the league?
Well,
so that's why I think there's a
void.
You know
what you need to? You need DeAndre Jordan to really to take his – and that would be the key to me for the Clippers winning the championship. Jordan has got to – he's got to give you – forget his free throws. He's got to give you almost 12 and 12 a night. I want to see him with two blocks. I want to see him start to really turn the corner. I wanted to ask you about one team specifically, and two young players who have had a lot of success, but are they ready to get their team in the playoffs in the West and really be stars? And that's Ty Lawson, our boy, and Kenneth Faried. Because as a power forward point guard tandem, they're sort of up there. What do you think about Lawson and Faried, and can they, if everybody's healthy in Denver, there's a lot of talent, but what can they do? What do you see for them?
So, I think that we've maxed out on Ty Lawson, because Ty Lawson had that stretch in his career like Derek Harper did, where every year he had increased points and increased assists. And I think he got up to like 18 and 9 or something like that. And I think that's about
that.
It.
Okay.
And it's hard for Ty Lawson to do more than that and dominate. I mean, he's like a notch and a half, let's say, below Chris Paul. So he's a really, really
NBA.
Good player.
Right. And plus, let me just say real quick, plus the NBA is at an all-time high for
that
point guard. It's the best position
for sure.
In the league right now. Yeah.
And I thought Kenneth Faried Kenneth Faried still has upside, because his offensive game has never been polished, but it's getting better, and you always know his motor's high, and he can rebound, and he can defend, and playing on the international level this year, that's all good. That bodes very well for Kenneth Faried. So I believe he has more upside, and I think Lawson has some decent he can stay where he is, maybe get a notch better, but not much more. I just don't think Denver, to me, doesn't even make the playoffs. They're probably the ninth or tenth seed. I mean, the West is brutal.
It's brutal. They could be even 11. I mean, it's just that deep. The West is crazy. Working on the picks and trying to figure it out, looking at the West, it's a killer. I don't see how any of these teams really crack in the teams that made it last year. It's going to be luck or an injury. Let me ask you about Toronto, though. We talked about Lowry real quick. And if you looked at the best backcourts in the NBA, people talk about Golden State and Washington. Now you've got to throw in there our boys from New York, Charlotte. But what about Toronto, too? I think DeRozan and Lowry are really underrated, and I think they're ready to be both potentially all-stars in the East. What are your thoughts about that backcourt and those two young guys?
So Lowry, I thought, should have been an all-star last year. DeMar DeRozan was an all-star. And I'm very impressed with DeMar DeRozan because I thought he was just an athletic kid, played 1 year at USC, and he was just going to be one of these.
He needs an I'm sorry letter, doesn't he, from both of us?
Yeah. Dear DeMar. So that's a nice young backcourt. You know, if you think about that, that's got to be one of the better backcourts in the Eastern Conference because, you know, we've seen what we've seen with Mario Chalmers and Miami. Who knows what, you know, what's happening there? And you got to figure who else. Cleveland. I mean, who's your starter? Is it Waiters?
And they're in the mix. Look, if you
you know Bradley Beal and John Wall is probably the best, although Bradley Beal's out with his hand. But those guys are probably a top, you know, Eastern top three East Coast backcourt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And anybody with Derrick Rose, Butler and Rose is pretty good because Butler is going to improve on scoring. His defense is definitely pretty solid. I think D. Rose is back. I'm excited to see. But then you can't forget about the old veterans, and we'll see what they can do this year. D. Williams and Joe Johnson. I mean, that should be the best backcourt, but it's just been, you know, struggling backcourt. But I like to see our guy in Charlotte. I like Kemba. And Lance will make you dance. Stevenson, that's a New York thugged out backcourt. I like that backcourt.
Why I gotta go thugged out? Why can't it just be good ball players? Why you gotta go thuggery?
No, not thuggery.
Why gotta go thug life?
Okay. How about this? It's a little hip. I got a little hip.
It's an urban backcourt.
Okay. Urban is the safe way. Yeah, we got a little hip hop to it. I mean, come on, Lance will make you dance. So I like that backcourt. How quickly and how good will Parker and Wiggins be? How quick will they join this conversation?
So I think it'll take Andrew Wiggins a little longer because his offensive game isn't quite there, but his athletic ability is really special. And I think Jabari Parker, if he decides to play defense, can really, really join that elite crew. I mean, he's not quite – he's bigger than Grant Hill, but he reminds me of that versatile forward. He's more of a mellow than Grant Hill, true.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite – look,
he's not a great athlete.
Exactly.
Grant Hill was.
So he, though, has offensive – you know what he has? He's got a knack for basketball. You know what I mean? He just seems to know what he's doing.
It's easy for him, yeah. Scoring, he's natural, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, for sure.
So before we leave basketball, it's time to get some college football. I got to ask you about two other guys. This one, I think you kind of might draft him in fantasy basketball. I got a feeling you kind of like him, and I think he's on another upswing. So this guy, I had him, I think, on my team last year. And he's in Atlanta. Teague. What do you think about Jeff Teague? And then what do you think about your guy in Utah, Derek Favors?
So Derek Favors has been an enigma. I always draft him just because high field goal percentage, rebounds, block shots. I don't know where his offense caps out at. So to me,
he looked good in
Derek
preseason.
Favors. He looks good in preseason. He's like the poor man's Anthony Davis, which is kind of funny because Anthony Davis is younger than he is, right? but Derek Favors is like the poor man's Anthony Davis. He's a Marcus Camby type, not quite the shot blocker Camby was, but he's a defense, you know, size, athlete, never probably will reach that offensive, you know, stud status. So good role player, good big to have on your team. Jeff Teague's interesting because I've kind of gone back and forth on him. I thought he was great as a young – I mean, great. He was a great young prospect, and then I kind of paused on him, and then he turned it into another gear last year at
very
times.
Impressive.
Yeah, so I like Jeff Teague. I think, and you know, that whole squad could be very interesting. I mean, I don't have it on the playoffs right now, but they might surprise. I could see them being out of the playoffs. I could see them being fourth or fifth place.
You're right. It's a very weird – no, that's a good analysis with Atlanta. One last one. I just got to throw this out there before we go. We don't have too many college games, but anyway, I just got to throw this in there. What about – and sticking with this Toronto team, who when I really look at it, they could be pretty dangerous. But if this guy develops, their big center, Jonas Valanciunas, if he can get you, 18 a game and 10 rebounds and a block and a half – is he ready to start scoring and be like a dominant post player? We have a lot of foreign big European centers, you know, him and the kid in Minnesota and the kid in Orlando.
Nikola Pekovic.
Yeah, Pekovic and Vucevic just got the contract from Orlando. But what do you think about Jonas? What about Jonas in Toronto? Is he ready to be a Jonas brother and step it up and be a rock star?
That's a good one, a rock star. My problem with big men is if you don't play big, you don't learn to play big. You know what I mean? Most big men start off playing big, and then they figure out their offensive skills, and they figure out their footwork, and they figure out how to do it. The European guys sometimes are the other way around. They have the offensive skills, and then they try to figure out defense and become better rebounders and such. So I'm not sure that you can become bigger, better, faster, and much stronger as a big. You either have it or you don't. You know what I mean?
But he's a big boy. He's not like a
shooter. No, but he doesn't play big necessarily at times.
Well, he plays bigger than Ben Bagnani, who's hurt
him. Well, yeah, Bagnani's at 6'11", just wanting to shoot jumpers, just want to shoot three. And he doesn't even hit that many of them. His three-point percentage isn't even that great, but he'll jack them up.
Hey, Phil Jackson still believes in him.
I guess. Maybe he's good for spacing, you know? Maybe in Derek Fisher's offense, he'll be good for spacing. And
definitely not. He's good for the system, but gosh, I mean, can he get healthy? I mean, we'll talk more about our next. So, anyway, I just wanted to see what you thought about Jonas. So you don't think he's there yet? He's not there yet.
I don't think he's there yet. I think he needs another year, and hopefully he'll surprise me. I would love to have an upside surprise. I want Toronto to be good. You know what I mean? They're out there in Canada, and nobody really talks about them. And
they still got our guy, right? They still got Landry Fields, so you got to root for him.
Yeah, Spike's still wearing that jersey, isn't he?
I don't know. But you know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll be back big time Monday with the NBA preview and talking NBA talk. I'm kind of really getting excited with the season coming. We have our NBA fantasy draft on Sunday night. So Ray and Tay are hyped. We're all in. It's going to be fun. We'll come back college football and then the NFL week 9 and week 8. Gosh, the seasons are flying. Quick break, Ray and Tay today.
We're back, and we're back to talk Pigskin Saturday and Sunday, college and NFL. So
is your boy playing? I got to ask you, is your boy playing this week, Todd Gurley? Is he being officially reinstated? What's the word?
They're pushing for it, but I don't think it'll happen.
Okay. Actually, I don't see Georgia on the schedule, so maybe they're off. So we only have two ranked games, Ray. I mean, obviously there's some other, matchups and upsets. And by the way, I got to give ECU, East Carolina University, some props. They ranked 18. They beat UConn last night, 31-21. But they might be one of those teams that just quietly sneak up the polls, only maybe get as high as 13 to 14, but they might play on New Year's Day in one of those bowl games. So it's nice to see a small school like that do good. So I just want to give them a little bit of love and stuff. So I guess right off the bat, we only have, we'd love to see our boys in Michigan, upstate Michigan State, number 8 in the country in Michigan, you know, to save your boy's job, or maybe we don't want his job saved, but that would be interesting. And obviously, Oklahoma State was ranked, and they're hosting West Virginia, who's now ranked. But so let's talk about, before we get to the big game, let's talk about USC-Utah. 19 against 20. Is Utah for real in the Pac-12? What's your pick, and can they beat a USC team who's been a little up and down this year?
Yeah, the USC team has been up and down. Sarkisian and those boys are, you know, I don't want to say Jekyll and Hyde because they're college kids. You know, you can expect a certain amount of inconsistency, but Utah's been consistently good. Not great, but consistently
right.
good. I think USC is going to pull this out, though. I like USC. I think they're gonna put it together. Although I wouldn't be upset if Utah won. You know, since Utah joined the Pac-12, it's like they haven't gotten the love that they deserve.
Right.
I hope Utah wins. But I'm picking USC. I'm picking USC in a pretty close game, 24-21.
Yeah, that's fair, and I think it really comes down to Kessler being a little bit more talented than Wilson in terms of the quarterback battle. And, you know, Kessler, he's, you know, got some somewhat gaudy numbers, you know, 1,800 yards and stuff like that. You know, Utah tends to run it a little bit more. I'd say 27-23, I think USC also wins and sort of gets, you know, what they'll Pac-12, they'll jump up to 5-1 in the Pac-12, and then 6-2 overall. So they need it. I don't want to say they need it more, but I guess for, you know, traditionalists, they need it more. Remember, at the end of the season, they play Notre Dame, so they still have a chance to really make their season if they continue on winning in the Pac-12 and only stay at 2 losses and then upset Notre Dame at the end. So that'd be kind of interesting. And then you got the classic. I mean, this one is a revenge from last year where Ole Miss upset LSU. Ole Miss, with the success being number 3, going to Death Valley, Ray, to play LSU at night, prime time, ESPN. I mean, LSU, this is the classic place for Les Miles to be the underdog, right? I mean, and ranked 24 in the country. Can Ole Miss handle the success and beat LSU at LSU? What do you think?
I tell you what, who would have thought that Ole Miss would be the undefeated team going into Baton Rouge,
oh,
playing a Les Miles team that would love to upset them? You know what? The more I think about it, I think LSU is going to win the game. I think they're going to pull it off. And like I always said about the SEC, they beat up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to see, and maybe I'm just thinking backwards, it's hard for me to see that any SEC team can get out of there, maybe even with less than 2 losses, just because, you know, Mississippi's got to play Mississippi State, and then Auburn's in the mix, and then Alabama's in the mix, and, you know, all these teams are going to beat up on each other, and then you have the SEC championship. So,
and they're also good, too. They're all good teams.
And they're all, exactly, and they're also good, and playing on the road is so tough in the SEC. I got to think LSU wins this game. LSU justifies the fact that they're a top 25 team. By the way, speaking of LSU, I think in the pros, isn't your boy Zach Mettenberger starting this week?
That's right, baby, with the mustache and looking kind of funny and weird. Yes, he does. I'm excited. I think the guy's got a cannon, and I think, like you said, it's my team now. It's a wrap. Locker? I never believed in Locker. You know, I didn't think he was that good in college at Washington.
I never believed in Locker.
Yeah.
Even at Washington. I mean, he's kind of like Kyle Bowler. You know, they didn't even dominate Kyle Bowler at Cal and Locker at Washington. I mean, they were decent players and maybe had a good, you know, their final college season.
Quarterbacks, yeah.
They really aren't legit number one, you know, first round picks.
And Mettenberger, he makes mistakes, but that arm, you don't teach that arm. He's got a cannon. So, okay, so what's your score for LSU?
So I think they go to a pretty strong defensive battle on both sides. So I'm going to say LSU wins 21-19.
I actually agree with you, and I think going to Death Valley, much as I've been hyping up both the Mississippi schools this year, I definitely believe Mississippi State a little bit more than Ole Miss, and just because I like Prescott over Wallace. But I don't think Bo Wallace is ready to be that prime time. Death Valley, that's Miles. So I actually agree with you totally there. I'm going to take LSU 24-20. Good defensive game. I think Jennings does enough. I think the young kid, the running back, was Fournette or whatever. I think he gets going, and I think LSU takes them out. So that's definitely, I don't even hate to call it an upset. I guess it's just an upset because of the rankings. So that's it for college football. Any other games where you see, do you feel any upsets this week? Does Penn State upset Ohio State? Do you see, Oak State beating West Virginia is not an upset. Can Mississippi State lose? Does Bama lose at Tennessee?
I think Tennessee will give Alabama trouble, and the score will be surprising. So kind of like how Alabama 2 weeks ago, before they beat up 59-0 on Texas A&M, I think that Tennessee will get that's my quote unquote upset special. Tennessee will play with them for three quarters, and they'll lose maybe by a field goal.
I sort of agree with you, and I think the same thing actually about Michigan with Michigan State. For some reason, I think Michigan is going to get up and give Michigan State all they can handle and just lose, to the end. Just sometimes when you play that rival in college, you play better than what you've been looking for and what you've been doing. And I think a sneaky game, South Carolina at Auburn. I think Auburn's going to be overlooking them. I forgot who they play next week, but I think it's another big boy. And I think South Carolina is going to try to salvage their season and push Auburn to the brink. But I think Auburn will pull that out. So that's it for college football. So now Sundays, Ray, I got to talk to you about this. How genius is the NFL? Are you waking up at 9:30, and should I wake up at 6:30 to watch potentially Calvin Johnson play and the Lions against the Falcons? Are you ready for that?
I heard you in the intro talk about that.
That's
so
wild.
It's unfortunate that this is a bad Falcons team because this could have been a great game. How fun would this game potentially?
Yeah.
If Calvin doesn't play, it's a competitive game.
Yeah.
Although
because Atlanta can score, but
and the thing is, Detroit though is a little bit of an enigma because this was a polished offensive team last year, and then even when Calvin was healthy, they were having trouble scoring. And then last week, the emergence of Golden Tate, you felt like he was back at Notre Dame doing his thing.
That's GT, player, GT.
So I don't know what's going to happen with Calvin, but I think all in all, the Lions are a better team. And, yes, I'll wake up to watch it. Why not? Especially like you said, this new era of football, especially with the red zone, I feel like unless it's on a Thursday or a Monday or a Sunday night,
you don't get the pleasure.
The full game. Yeah.
Right. You're watching scores and then minutes of games. You're right. You feel cheated or you're cheating the teams. So this
I'm cheating
is going to be a treat. Yeah, I might go to bed early Saturday night so I can get up at 6:30 out here and watch the game myself, or at least I'll catch the second half of the game. But I might do it too, maybe with a baby in my arms. We'll see. So now this is the we start to get into the games we're really going to talk about. So Seattle at Carolina. Now, this is interesting for so many levels because, one, what's going on with the Seahawks in the locker room? I threw out a tweet about it. We got to stop this ignorance. Russell Wilson being a sellout or Uncle Tom or whatever. Yeah, his posse, his friends are white. He's very articulate or whatever. It's not like a Jordan thing where, he's sort of doesn't speak up for black issues or whatever, but this black-on-black ignorance, I called it, stop hating on Russell Wilson. I think whatever the issue is, they got to get over it. He's the leader of the team. He's going to get paid. If he's close to management, so what? Most quarterbacks are close to management. Look at Peyton Manning. Does anybody say anything to him? So what? Because Russell's black or half black, people got to say something to him? I think it's stupid. I think the Seahawks get it together, Ray. I think they get over Harvin, they get over the Rams loss, they get over everything, and they realize they've got to get the pass rush back. And I think against Carolina and that offensive line and not a great running game, they can do it. So I think the Seahawks win 23-17, still a little bit of a slugfest, and beat the Panthers.
So it's funny because I think the Panthers are kind of the poor man's version of the Seahawks on defense, and the Seahawks are much better on offense. But the Seahawks have been having some trouble recently, and there's some trouble in paradise. First week of the season, second week of the season, you thought, they're steamrolling. Now you're thinking, are the Seahawks going to make the playoffs? So playoffs. So I think
must
they
win?
Turn it around.
You say must win, right?
Sounds
like you say must win. It's a must win.
Hey, look, it's not a must win, but it's a must win. So
okay.
I think that, especially that in that AFC West, right? Because quickly the Niners, they started to put together in the second half, and the Cardinals look good too. So to me, they start giving the ball more to Skittles, Marshawn Lynch, and they pull away in the second half. I think they win this game 30-17.
Ooh, you're giving them a 30. Hey, you got to give Russell some props too, though. I didn't even realize last week he threw for over 300 and ran for over 100. That's crazy.
But you know what? But you know what? He's doing too much. He's doing
too much.
Russell Wilson is your leading rusher.
You're right. And Kristen Michael needs some carries too. If Beast Mo's back is messed up, him and Turbin. So they've got decent backs. You're right. They got to run. So let's move it over to the AFC North. How about those Ravens going to the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been struggling the last couple of weeks? I mean, it's hard to believe without one guy, A.J. Green, and then Marvin Jones, who wasn't playing and then got hurt again or whatever, or couldn't make it back. But, I mean, this is could be potentially for the title, in the AFC North. And I got to be honest, at 3-2-1, I'm sort of losing a little faith in the Bengals. The defense is looking a little suspect. The Ravens in 5-2 are better than I could have imagined. And the ways that they've handled the whole Ray Rice thing, just gives you such props to Flacco and Harbaugh, the coach. Flacco's almost got 1,900 yards. I'm going to take the Ravens on the road in an upset. And I think that the Ravens and Forsett, Pierce, Steve Smith Sr., they get it going, and they win a close one. I'll say 27-24, Tucker with a field goal near the end to win it for the Ravens.
Is A.J. Green playing?
I don't think so. And Mohamed Sanu is a beast, but, gosh, he can't do it all by himself. Nobody else is stepping up. None of the tight ends, not Sonsenbacher. Nobody's helping him.
You don't like Dane Sonsenbacher? I thought Jeremy Hill – would be better as a sort of a, I don't want to say change of pace.
They're going to run the ball a lot this week.
Compliment to Bernard.
But the Ravens defense credit. Ravens defense is tough, right?
Ravens defense is tough. The Ravens, I tell you what, man, they need to get, especially given what happened with Ray Rice in the beginning of the season and that whole distraction. I think the Ravens need to get more credit than they're getting. And Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome specifically needs to get a lot of credit. Joe Flacco and the boys. I just can't see my Cincinnati Bengals, who I picked to win the AFC North, because of A.J. Green, they just fall apart. I mean, they still have a pretty decent, talent on defense. They still have some pieces on offense. They still have a good regular season quarterback in Andy Dalton.
The whole game, to me, is on Andy Dalton. He needs to win them this game.
Yeah, and I think they need to get creative, too, and get Giovanni Bernard in some playmaking scenarios, get him in space. By the way, we need to talk about speaking of Giovanni Bernard real quick. We need to talk about what's happening in Carolina. And I don't know if this is an anomaly or if this happens at every school. I went to Division III school. You went to Division I school. You need to talk to me about this. But what the heck is going on in Carolina where they're just throwing out grades? They said 3,000 kids. Just 3,100 kids and all the athletes took these classes that you just, got yourself an A and you didn't even show up. And it's a big mess down there in China.
Right. Hey, listen, I totally remember I told you this spring when the whole story came out and our boy, Rashard McCants, came out. I totally believed him. And I was surprised that Jay Billis gave that interview in the softballs to Roy Williams. And I did not believe what either one of them were saying to each other. So shame on our Tar Heels. Shame on them. I think it's a mess. It's going to be a house of cards, and it's going to fall sooner than later. You watch. So you're taking the Bengals then?
Yeah, I'm taking the Bengals.
Okay. So we got to keep it moving real quick. Bears at Patriots. This might be the Bears' season. After this, a bye and then the Packers. It's hard to believe that the Patriots would lose this type of game, but I just think the Bears are going to wake up and they're going to fight for their lives. And for some reason, I think they can do it offensively. They can find a way to outscore the Patriots. And remember, Chandler Jones is hurt now. I don't think the Patriots have enough with the injuries, and I think it's going to bite them in this game. The Bears win maybe a classic game, 30-28. The Bears to go to 4-4 over the Patriots.
I think you're right. I think the Patriots get up for the game they have to get up for, but this is interconference, and they don't really have anything going on with the Bears. I guess even though the Bears did put it to them in that Super Bowl, but none of these people.
Way so, back in 85?
Yeah, they're too young for that. Only you and I remember that. So I do think the Bears need to turn it on. And they have the talent to do it. And again, I don't know what's missing. I don't know. I mean, it looked like they were on a positive upswing, and Jay Cutler was here to stay, and their offense is just great. Talk about the weapons that Peyton Manning has. I mean, right behind that, the weapons that Jay Cutler has, including
Amen.
That running back, Matt Forte.
Yep.
So I think they put it together. They put up a lot of points, and they win in the shootout, maybe 30-27.
Okay, so 1 point off of me. Now, out here in the desert, this might be a sneaky best game of the season out here or in the NFL. The Eagles coming off their bye at the Arizona Cardinals, first place NFC West Arizona Cardinals. I actually think Chip Kelly is going to have something for the Cardinals. I do like Palmer. I like the way the Cardinals are playing, but no one talks about it. Everybody talks about the Seahawks and the Niners injuries, but the Cardinals have been banged up since the beginning of the season for their defense. And I just think the Eagles' offense will be powerful enough, and they can do enough. Sproles might play. He practiced. And I think McCoy has a good game. I think you can do some things with the Cardinals. They're not getting the pass rush, so it makes Macklin could be a tough matchup for them. And maybe I think the kid Jordan Matthews steps up in this game. And Foles gets picked off only once and gets 3 touchdowns. So I'll take the Eagles, actually, 28-27 in a great game. And our boy Cowboy Killers will be in attendance. He's going to the game. So he's excited. He's a big Eagle fan. So.
Wow. So you know what? I've been going against the Cardinals all year. I'm going to take the Cardinals at home. Even though, you give Chip Kelly 2 weeks to prepare for you, that's dangerous. But
uh-huh.
I'm going to say that the Cardinals and Andre Ellington are going to take care of business, and they're going to possess the ball a lot. And the Eagles might score, but the Eagles will have too many short possessions, and their D is going to be on the field for too long. And so I think in the fourth quarter, the Arizona Cardinals come back and win this game. And I think they win also in a shootout. So I'm going to say 31-26 Cardinals.
Well, finally, I'll be able to tell Elijah Dukes that Uncle Tal picked his team. He'll be happy about that.
Yeah. Well, I picked him on a very tough game, though.
Yeah, no, he'll really be happy about that. So we got a great AFC matchup. The Colts are going to my Pittsburgh Steelers. And Andrew Luck, he sort of hyped up Big Ben. He's a better version of Ben just because he's more pure. But they're very similar to me, sort of big guys, move around, good arms. I want to pick my Steelers. I really want to, but if I'm being honest, I think the Colts are on a roll. And it hurts me to say this, but the Colts are going to win. And I'll take the Colts in Pittsburgh, beating my Steelers to put us at 4-4, which really hurts. The Colts will win 26-21, three touchdown passes from Andrew Luck.
I like the Colts, too. I think the Steelers have played well last couple of weeks and showed well for themselves, but I think the Colts are just too tough. I think the Colts are a little underrated on defense when their team wants to. They can make some stops.
Yeah, pretty good.
But I think that offense, T.Y. Hilton emerges a star, and I think they found a little sweet spot with Richardson and Bradshaw. And
Either
one of them is great, but they're different enough from each other where they complement each other and Bradshaw's been, I guess we were both
very good.
Bradshaw to take over that role as but they're really like one A and one A, So I like Indianapolis. I think they have a good thing going, and I think your boy earned some more votes for MVP, Andrew Luck. I think they end up winning 28-20.
Okay. Now, the Sunday night, this might be a classic if the home team comes to play and shows up, which I think they will. You've got Aaron Rodgers versus Drew Brees, two of our best gunslingers, and you got the Packers at the Saints. Now, we joked about a must-win for the Seahawks, Ray, and even the Bears, but, Ray, I got to believe they've had their road games, and they're really bad on the road, 0-4. They're 2-0 at home, but we both discussed this. It's been ugly wins and sloppy wins. At 2-4, even though they're in a weak division, so they wouldn't even at 2-5 still be out of it, I mean, they – for morale, for everything, Ray, they got to find a way to win this game. Packers 5-2, 2-2 on the road. For some reason, I'm just thinking Sunday Night Football, they're going to be hyped up. The Saints win a shootout, and Drew Brees. Be easy. Drew Brees does enough, and their running backs do enough to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, who I love. Jordy Nelson's going to get busy. 31-30, Saints beat the Packers in a Sunday night fantasy football delight. Everybody does good. Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson, fantasy points for you and for you. Everybody.
Should you play the
Jimmy Peyton Graham?
Manning I was just saying Peyton Manning disrespected the official scorer. So should you play the scoreboard operator in that game? Because he's banging up points.
Oh man, listen. I mean, who could imagine at 1,900 yards passing and Rodgers only got, 1,800, who could imagine that people think Drew Brees is having a bad season at 1,900 yards? But that's how good this guy is, you know what I mean? And 11 touchdowns.
I got to think that at a certain point, the Saints have to win some games and turn their season around. So I'm with you, man. Green Bay's the better team, but there's something about the Saints in New Orleans. They put it together. If they lose this, they're going to go 5-11 and just be terrible. So I think, like you, that they win a close game. I also think it's going to be a shootout. They may even score more points than that. I think they go 35-31, but the Saints win on a last-second touchdown. Maybe Kenny Still or Jimmy Graham, if he's
Yeah, I don't know the status. I mean, obviously, I think he played a little bit last week, right, in the goal line. So I'm sure he'll play. That was a bad loss to Detroit. You know, that was a rough one for the Saints. So
especially that penalty right there. The red out was horrible.
Yeah, no, it's
Reggie Bush.
It's a rough season. Is Reggie Bush playing this week? I haven't seen what's going on with that for Detroit. I need Reggie to do me some stuff in fantasy, man. So it should be a fun weekend. You know, we got the Knicks playing the Raptors tonight. We got the World Series, preseason basketball. But you got to watch the World Series. Great sports. Should be a fun weekend. Hey, Ray, I might send you a text at 6:31 a.m. my time to let you know I'm up watching the Lions and Falcons.
Well, it'll be 9:30 my time, so that's no big deal.
Oh, I know you'll be up. That's a respectable hour, but goodness gracious, 6:30. But hey, I'm sure my kids will be up, so a dad needs to be up with them. So anyway, great show, great sports weekend. Monday, I'm telling you, if you are a basketball fan, you must listen to Ray and Tay today. Join us 6:00 Eastern. It's going to be fun. We will get you prepared. We'll talk about our fantasy draft, get you prepared for yours, but we're going to get you ready for the season. It starts Tuesday night. I'm hyped, right? It's basketball time. So we'll talk to everybody Monday, and then we'll end our show Monday, obviously just wrapping up the NFL and what happened and stuff. But it's a basketball
show. We'll talk World Series, too. Yeah, we'll talk World Series, too.
We'll talk World Series, too. Definitely. We'll wrap up the weekend and see if someone's won. Or, game 5, where they're at, 3-2, whatever, definitely. But it'll be a hoop show. So all you hoop heads, check us
hoop
out.
It up.
Check us out. All right, great show. Nice talking sports with friends. Have a good weekend. We're out.